Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Eco Money on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Primetime on Money FM 89.3 with me, Rachel Kelly, Timothy Goh, and finance presenter JP Ong. And now it's time for Eco Money, where we bring you the latest in sustainability and finance. Now, the UN Climate Change Conference 2021, or COP26, is just around the corner.
And mobilizing finance is one of the goals they're trying to achieve there. And to achieve climate goals, the organizers say trillions of dollars in private financing is needed to be unleashed to power towards net zero by the middle of the century.
That's right. And to do this, every company, every financial firm, every bank, insurer, and investor will need to change.
But as investors show, how much do we really need, or how much do we really know about net zero targets? And what does it mean to partner our portfolios with the planet?
That's right. Well, in a recent research report, Lombard Odier stated that investors need more clarity on net zero, adding that common sustainable investment frameworks would help deploy $120 trillion of private capital towards that net zero transition.
So let's find out more now with Dr. Christopher Kamenker, Head of Sustainable Investment Research Strategy and Stewardship at Lombard Odier. Good evening to you, Doctor.
Good evening. Great to be with you. Thank you.
Good to have you back.
It's a real pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, Doctor, what are you looking out for the upcoming COP26?
So a lot of people are wondering whether this is going to be a good COP or a bad COP.
Love that.
So from the perspective, I heard the little drum roll there, I'm sure. So from the perspective of logistics, I mean, quite clearly, it is probably going to be a difficult COP from that perspective. But from a substantial perspective, what will be delivered by governments and the private sector, we think it could be a good COP. We think it could surprise to the upside, basically along three different dimensions.
And those three different dimensions are?
Well, for those of you who like to read long documents, you might recognize these three dimensions from the Paris Agreement, Article 2A, 2B, and 2C. 2A is all about mitigation of climate change, mm-hmm. decarbonizing the global economy. And we think that we could see a lot of acceleration there, and I can talk about that a bit more if you like. Article 2B is all about adaptation to climate change and making our economies more resilient to the carbon-damaged world. And 2C is all about making financial flows consistent with mitigation and adaptation.
So let's talk about those financial flows and the impact on the investment community. Good COP or bad COP, what impact do you think COP26 is going to have on the investment landscape? Are we going to see any significant changes?
So we see already a repricing beginning to happen. Mm-hmm. Of course, what investors look for is policy certainty. Investors are always talking about asking for TLC, transparent, long-term, and credible policy frameworks, because we're in the position of positioning capital to benefit from future changes.
So, Doctor, what do you think are the five things that investors will need to know about COP26 then?
So investors really want to see that these long-term net zero goals, which have been adopted around the world. I mean, if we had been having this conversation last year, about 20% of the global economy was covered by a net zero goal. But today it's 80% of the global economy covered by a net zero goal by 2050. But that's still a goal, and that's still far in the future. So what investors are looking to see here, and what will really move markets and cause capital to flow, is whether those goals are credible and whether they are going to have an impact in terms of regulation and in terms of all of the different interventions that governments will make on the way to 2050.
So, do you think we're likely to see firm, actionable steps, though, or as climate activist Greta Thunberg puts it, a little bit more blah, blah, blah lip service when it comes to timelines and goals for net zero and climate change?
Right. Well, I'm sure, given it is a diplomatic conference, there'll be plenty of deliberation, as as they say. But what we are seeing is major policy ambition increases already. And I'm dialing in from London, and here in the UK, we've seen that net zero goal followed up by a quantitative midterm target, a very ambitious one. And then we've seen legislation come in place. These goals are enshrined in law now, and then there's been a ban on the sale of new internal combustion engine vehicles by 2030, and then a power sector to be decarbonized by 2035, and other incentives coming into play. And these are the type of policy interventions and dynamics that investors really look to, because it provides a credible path to deploy capital.
And just following on from that, because the City of London has set climate targets of, I think it's about 4.1 billion of assets, what kind of response have you seen to some of these announcements in the UK?
So we've seen a major response from companies and from investors. Companies are setting net zero goals at a record pace. There are over 1,000 companies that have set a science-based target, and there are 4,000 companies that have some type of climate goal included with them. And they're doing this because they see it as a business opportunity. They see it as good for jobs, good for economic growth, good for people, good for society, good for the environment. And then we've also seen investors follow in the steps of companies. We now have around $90 trillion of investors that have pledged to also go for net zero, including us. So you've got the private sector, companies, projects, capital, and now what we're really waiting for is increased policy ambition to take the temperature of the real economy down to match what we're seeing in the financial economy.
So, Doctor, what do you think investors would need more clarity on, though? Everything is changing. So do we need more clarity on carbon neutral, carbon pricing, and things like that?
Yes, all of those things will bring a lot of benefits in terms of clarity. We need more clarity on those quantitative midterm targets and whether a pathway to net zero is actually going to be profitable for a company to follow. And the UK has just put in place a new regulation which is going to ask companies to disclose their net zero pathways and plans. We're also going to need to see more certainty around what is going to happen with the energy sector in terms of coal and other fossil fuels and their phase-outs, bans. Carbon pricing and the removal of fossil fuel subsidies are also very important dynamics. And then we're interested to see whether we'll see action on the carbon markets to create a credible and mainstream carbon market, and then also one that harnesses nature, because nature can deliver up to a third of the emissions needed to reach the Paris Agreement.
That's right, and including accurate pricing of natural resources and, I guess, developing natural climate solutions to help offset those greenhouse gas emissions as well then.
This is extremely important. And nature has infinite value, but not necessarily a price on it. And that's a big issue.
How do you put a price on nature, though?
You can put a price on nature through governmental mechanisms, or investors can also put a price on nature by valuing the externalities of nature and anticipating that governments and market forces and consumers and investors will recognize that over time.
So, Doctor, one last thing. Is there anything on your wish list for COP26?
Well, it would be great to have a global minimum carbon price, wouldn't it? That would provide a huge amount of certainty for investors. Now, that's probably going to be fairly difficult, although the IMF has proposed such a mechanism, and we think that it is under discussion. But basically, I think if we can see action along climate change mitigation, better ambition, higher ambition, especially in the short term, more clarity around adaptation financing, because we're facing the realities of a carbon-damaged world already, and also these new generation of forward-looking metrics, like calculating implied temperature rise of portfolios that investors can use. I think all of those would be on a wish list, and we think we're going to see quite a bit of progress on many of them.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to share all of those insights and that preview of what you'll be looking forward to from COP26, which starts in just over a week.
Thank you so much. Thank you again.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Dr. Christopher Kamaka, Head of Sustainable Investment Research Strategy and Stewardship at Lombard Odier. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.